He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Well, how you doing this fine, beautiful morning in Vernon, B.C.?
Vernon, British Columbia, Canada. Great. I'm doing wonderful. It's a beautiful sunny day, and we have company visiting, and I've got a turkey in the oven, and I'm a happy camper.
Well, I'm feeling great, too. We had a great hot tub last night and lots of great conversation.
It sounded to me, I was upstairs in bed watching The Voice, the show that I really like, and all I heard was you talking.
Well, believe it or not, some people do enjoy the sound of my voice more than just myself, but I am my number one fan, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I got to give it to you. Yeah, you sure are.
But it is great here being in Vernon, and we'll talk more about that. But this is SNU, He Said, She Said, and let's get into our usual session. Trace, what's cooking?
What's cooking is herbal iced tea. Making your own iced tea may be a bit more work, but however, it's really well worth it. And you can use any type of herbal tea or herbal tea combination. There's a multitude of different herbal teas. You want to make sure that you get the highest quality that you can find, ones with no added essential oils or anything like that. If you can get organic, that would be fantastic. The other day, I used licorice spice with cranberry, and it was delicious. Or, hey, even how about green tea with lemon zinger or ginger with the red zinger? That was kind of cool. Everybody really enjoyed that, and it's really a great little party drink to have for people that don't want to have any alcoholic beverages. But if you do, what I do, because I was having a glass of white wine, and I always water mine down, so I added some of the herbal iced tea to my wine, and it was fantastic. What you want to do is I use honey, unpasteurized honey to the mix. I don't use white sugar. I'm sure there's other types of sweeteners that you can use that are natural, but I prefer the honey. And what I do is I add boiled filtered water to the herbal tea and let it sit for up to about 10 minutes. Then what I do is I add in a large pitcher, I add the just a little bit of honey with the hot water and I let it melt and get liquidified, and then I add, after the iced tea's been cooled, then I add it in, and I add slices of lemon, orange, lime, grapefruit, if you like. You can also keep the tea bag in if you want to keep it in the fridge for a few hours, but it's just absolutely delicious, and everybody likes it. And if you wanted to add a couple of cubes of ginger, if you're having the ginger tea, that's all really nice as well. So, you know, you want to get creative when it comes to the iced tea, and it's so much better than having the iced tea that you just buy off the shelf with who knows what's in it. I don't even want to go there, but anybody can drink this. Even children can have this iced tea.
Well, herbal teas are clean, and you're in charge of what goes in, and you can read the ingredient panel on these herbal mixtures that are so popular. Like I was reading the ingredient panel for Red Zinger. It said hibiscus, rosehips, peppermint, West Indian lemongrass, orange peel, natural flavors, lemon, verbena, licorice, and wild cherry bark. So most of us aren't familiar with a lot of these substances, and we would very seldom, if ever, go out to, you know, a specialty store and buy them all and make them ourselves. So when we get these mixtures and we make them into herbal teas, I think it's just a great way to sort of pump up the volume and reinforce the diet with a clean source of more micronutrients and hydrate the body too.
Absolutely. And there are times in the afternoon when I want to have a little lift and I just don't want to drink a glass of water. And I don't want a protein shake, and so what am I going to have? And I don't want a cup of coffee because I don't want to get wired up. But rooibos tea is one of the teas that I really enjoy. Now, I don't have to have it hot. Sometimes I'll make a pot of rooibos tea, and I'll just drink it at room temperature with nothing in it, just the rooibos tea. I really, really like that. I might even have it just sometimes before I go to bed at night or just during the day. It's just a really fantastic drink instead of coffee. But, you know, when you're drinking herbal teas, their benefits are multitude. You can achieve a calmer, more relaxed state of mind. It supports heart health, aids in stomach and digestive problems. That's where that ginger tea comes in. It can provide cleansing properties for the body, depending on what kind of teas that you use. Very hydrating. And promotes energy and wellness, and it tastes delicious.
Well, for the athlete, too, there's always an issue of inflammation from the training, from the running, from the pounding of the joints on the pavement or the playing of the sports, the contact. So teas, actually, some of my favorites are combinations of hibiscus and rose hips. That's why I like the Red Zinger. But even rose hips on their own are extremely nourishing.
We bought some when we were down in New Mexico. Remember, a big bag of dried rose hips?
Yeah, and basically you just create the infusion, you soak them in the boiling water, and then you drink the byproduct, and it's just distilled clean water that's got the essence of these plants. And so it's just a great way to improve the likelihood, because a lot of people don't drink water because they say they don't like the taste of plain water.
Yes.
Because they need something to make it seem more palatable. So
yes.
This is a great way. Plus, you can make these warm, really hot, or actually with ice cubes on a hot day and drink them as a cooling tea, refreshing tea.
And, you know, it gets everybody who doesn't drink water, it gets them to drink more liquids. Plus, with the lemons and the fresh lemon, fresh lime, fresh oranges and grapefruits in it, it's really nice. So you can put it over ice, or you can drink it hot with honey, because we drink it hot with honey in the evening or in a cold night, and then I make the same thing exactly, as I said, in the summertime, over ice, and it's a real hit. And you can also add wine to it to make kind of a sangria, so it serves a lot of purposes.
Well, yes, and many of us don't think of herbal teas as medicine, but you can use them as medicine, for example, during pregnancy.
Yes.
Women can drink teas to help relieve nausea.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use these teas instead of taking medication, because if you drink like up to a quart of them a day, you can get some very strong therapeutic value from
drinking. Oh, absolutely.
And there's no side effects.
Absolutely,
they
yeah.
are good for treating colds and flus, you know, like some of them herbs. And you can be specific. You can look in a compendium or go online. You can choose the plant. You can get various mixtures of it, and you can make this sort of healing tea and then get into the habit. Like, I like to have my coffee in the morning, and then for the rest of the day, I like to drink herbal teas throughout the day while I'm sitting on my computer.
Right.
So they're great for liver function, great for the arteries, cholesterol management. They can be used to sedate and calm you down, like at nighttime. You know, a passion flower or
chamomile. There are some herbal teas that you got to watch out for, because some of them can really make you go. Like an apricot tea I had one time. It says, only drink a half a cup. Well, darn. That apricot tea was so darn good, I had like 2 cups of it, and did I suffer, I'll tell you. So really, when it says that on the package, you gotta beware.
Yeah, the ones that are designated for bowel problems, constipation, that have a stronger medicinal effect, those are the ones typically you need to be more careful of.
Exactly, and there are some herbal teas that you have to be careful, like when you're pregnant.
Oh, of course, yes. They're contraindicated. Certain ones are not permitted.
You know, those are first. I mean, we're not talking about rooibos tea or ginger and peppermint and all that kind of thing. But I would talk to somebody, if you know, as a herbalist or something like that, when it comes to if you're pregnant or have any kind of major cancer or liver damage or something like that. But all in all, these herbal teas are pretty functional and healthy for everyone in the family.
Yeah, and tea is one of the most popular drinks in the world. I think it ranks even higher than coffee worldwide. When you look at the Chinese population, the Indians,
yes.
the Europeans, the Africans, the rubeus tea that you mentioned is a popular drink in Africa. So these plant-based herbs, they are terrifically practical. I mean, you can just incorporate them and drink them throughout the day and make them a steady part of the diet.
Absolutely. So get on it. Start serving some really nice iced herbal teas at your next party, or just have it in the fridge for yourself and your family.
Yeah, right on. Good stuff. So let's move on. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Lou Lim, intranasal light therapy. What a concept, huh?
Very cool. And I came up the other day and saw you lying on your bed, watching TV, reading a book, working on your computer, and you had the intranasal apparatus all attached. So it's very practical to use.
Now, I was doing all of that while I was watching TV, laying in bed, and actually I do. I have the TV on, mute. I've got my computer going. I've got a book on the side for reference. And I've got the nasal therapy.
Well, I think it's just a con. I walk in and it looks like you're busy.
Yeah,
but in fact, your eyes are closed and you're not even doing anything. You're just sleeping.
You know, I do use that intranasal therapy. And I just sometimes lay there and I close my eyes and it beeps after 25 minutes. And, you know, I can actually fall into a really great REM sleep for about 10 minutes.
So it has a sedative calming effect.
Yeah, because I'm doing it for that reason.
Right.
I mean, I have put it in, because there's a little thing you can attach to a pocket or something like that, and I've walked around the house and done all my little chores or whatever I'm doing. But today what I'm doing is I'm laying down, and that's my little rest for 25 minutes. It beeps, I wake up, and I feel so refreshed. Fantastic.
Yeah, well, there's a wavelength of light, and it actually helps accelerate healing. It boosts the immune system. I guess it irradiates the blood. That's how the concept works. It's this natural little light radiates the blood and changes the chemistry within the vascular network, and then it affects the signals inside the body. And there's some data. They've got some good scientific studies and some papers on this thing. So I think it's an interesting little device with a lot of potential.
Well, it sure is. It's not harmful. It doesn't hurt to do it. It's relaxing. So, you know, and it's for anybody. Anybody can use it, right?
For
anybody
sure.
can use it.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
There's no contraindications. And even kids could use it, I would imagine. Pregnant women could use it.
For sure.
Yeah, so
yeah.
That's good. When you get that kind of thing going on, then it's good.
Yeah, and also for athletes that are looking for performance enhancement. There was a performance study that we talked about in that SNU. And for anybody that wants more insight on that, you can get to the website. And that is listed on our website. If you go to SNU, click the little button on the homepage, and then that'll take you to the archives. And then you can just use the search engine and find that particular SNU, and the fellow's name was Lou Lim. So you just punch his name in, and it comes up, and that's how you find that particular SNU volume.
And actually what I've done right now is I've got it in my nose right now as we're talking.
Do you?
I went, yeah, so there you go. See, so it's functional.
Yeah, very functional.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so thank you, Lou Lim, for your special guest interview. We really appreciate it, and I am definitely enjoying the benefits.
Oh, that's great. Good stuff. And Lord knows you need them. Okay, so CHI, our update. What's cooking on that? What's happening?
Ooh, well, we have moved, which is fantastic. We've moved to Vernon and kind of got the house in order. We started to plant our tomatoes, and the weather's been beautiful. We see Ruby every other day. She comes for dinner and doing her laundry and looking after her as much as I can, and going to get the baby's room ready shortly. And I am doing the Vernon Dancing with the Stars. I don't think we talked about that last time, did we?
No, that was very cool. We were just walking down the street, and you saw a dance studio and decided to have a peek inside, and then you disappeared for like an hour, and I'm standing outside wondering where you are, and eventually just sat down against the wall beside a butcher store, I think, and waited for you to come out, and you had made a friend.
I made a friend, and also I got the keys to the dance studio.
Holy amazing,
Vernon.
Huh?
Anyway, the Vernon Dancing with the Stars is kind of a takeoff from the Dancing with the Stars on television. And the stars in Vernon are business owners, and the business owners dance with dance teachers, and they raise money for hospice in Vernon. And so she's been putting this on, Lorna Robb, who is the owner of the Cheek to Cheek Dance Studio. And you can Google that if you like, Cheek to Cheek Dance Studio in Vernon, British Columbia. And she's been doing this for 5 years, and she raises about $20,000. And it's a fantastic opportunity for anybody who wants to dance and who enjoys dancing. And she gets over 500 people that come out to watch this show.
Well, it's just a great connection. You guys hit it off, and you even had me in there helping you out one dance night. I was the bartender, which
yeah.
I really enjoyed, because what a great way to meet people and have a bit of control. Everyone's got to come up to you to get their drink, and, of course, that's my opportunity to create dialogue.
Oops, and if they ask you a question, watch out. It should be the other way around.
Yeah, I had actually a couple people that sort of picked up their drinks, and they were trying to be very polite and give me the message like, I got to get back to my group now. Would you please let me go?
Because people come, see, you don't want to talk too long at these dance functions, because people come there to dance. And
yes.
If you manipulate somebody's time for too long, then they're missing out on opportunities for dancing.
I see that. Yeah, they're very greedy
for
their dance
time. It's supposed
to
be the other way around. The person that comes to the bar is supposed to the bartender's supposed to listen, not the bartender talk. So you've got that all misconstrued there. Anyway, that's what I'm doing now. So I'm dancing with two men. I'm doing a cha-cha and I'm doing a street hustle, which is a disco dance.
And it's great to see you dancing again.
Yeah, I tell you, that's a good way to burn the butt off, I'll tell you. That's the only thing that really works for me is dancing.
Well, we are walking to and from the gym. We're walking to the markets, and we live in an environment that allows us to do that. And of course, that's why we do it, partly because we can do it and also because we want to. But there's a lot of movement there, and we all need to move, especially as we get older. We need to keep moving. We need to keep that button gear.
Mind you, I'm cursing all the way. I mean, it's all downhill when you go to the gym, and then when you come back, you finish with the gym, you're tired, and then you go grocery shopping, then it's all uphill. So I'm bitching and complaining the whole way back. But nonetheless, I keep thinking, this is healthy, this is healthy, this is healthy. And that's it. And I'm pooped by the time I get home, and then I have a little bite to eat, and then I'm a happy camper.
Yeah.
That's our story, and really, so far, so good. I've met a lot of people. I've met a lot of women already that are my own age, which is really nice. And I'm going to be having a girls' dinner party pretty quick. And just really getting to know people here. And it's like the dance studio is really a good, quick way to meet people. It really is, to infiltrate into the system, you know. It's fantastic. So I'm really enjoying it, and it's great for Ruby being pregnant. She looks fantastic. She hasn't gained a lot of weight. She's still working. Has a bit of nausea, but, you know, that's just part of pregnancy. But
well, we found out that she was Rh negative, and when the mother who's pregnant is Rh negative, like her blood type is B, mine is B and yours is O, but we don't know the blood type of the baby and or the father. So when the mother has an Rh negative, it can create problems with baby and mother. And so the next step we have now is to find out the blood type of Mike, the father. Now, if he's Rh negative, that means the baby will be Rh negative, like the mother, and there won't be any problem. But if he's Rh positive, the baby will be Rh positive, and then that creates conflict. So then there are steps that a woman can take to either take a shot in the hospital just before she gives birth or just after. But That's another issue of science and modern medicine, where we, because of chemistry and biology and the technology that we have today, we even know about this factor.
Well, do you think that years and years and years ago, before we knew all of this, that when the baby was born, stillborn, or there was a problem with the baby, that this was one of the problems?
One of the problems, yeah. Because
yeah.
Blood types at one time were unknown, and there was all kinds of complications and difficulties because of that, because when they first started to experiment with exchanging of blood, they had no idea that there was something beyond just its color, right?
Yes.
So this is why science is so important to understand and pursue and retain the methodology of science, separating fact from fiction. But then this is the power of medicine that we can utilize to our benefit. I think the treatment of diseases and pathologies that come as a consequence of letting yourself go, like if you're not in good shape and you eat a crappy diet and then you develop diseases and health problems, medicine is not very good at treating those because the drugs don't work.
Yes.
But when it comes to something like, are you Rh negative, and is the father Rh negative or positive? That is where the power of medicine really stands out, and we can take advantage of it to protect ourselves from unnecessary suffering.
Right. So hallelujah for science, huh?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And for the primary function of medicine, which is to protect us from harm, not induce harm.
No, absolutely.
And in this case, it can work that way, so that's a good thing.
There you have it.
Yeah, so what else is on the list?
Well, Nicole Hicks taking a mentorship program in Hawaii. How was that?
Well, that was incredible. Once again, the mentorship brings two people together in very unique and special ways. We both revealed our true character, and we sweat together, and they who sweat together develop a relationship that can only be found in the sweat.
Oh,
and so
okay.
You pump an iron. And you're pressing each other and pushing each other, and with the mentorship, of course, because I was
going... You sure you're talking about workout training?
Yeah. So yeah, workout sweat there. That's
okay,
all right. Yeah, of course, in the Hawaiian sun, it's all amplified.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I'll tell you, when you work out with somebody, not just watch them, not just tell them what to do. Not like a coach. I was watching a hockey show the other day, and the coach has got his whistle, and he's out there on the ice, and he's basically telling the athletes what to do. But he's not doing the work with them. And that's the difference with my mentorship program. I do the work with you. I do a full-on set. I show you how it's done. You watch me, and then it's now your turn. I watch you. And that is, I think, the very best way to learn from each other. You have the master and the student changing roles.
Well, you know, it's like teaching dancing. I'm working with my students just as hard as they are.
You are, yes,
mind
you are.
They are probably thinking more than I am because I already have been there, right? But I'm still working as hard as they are.
Well, you know what? That's a great commentary on dancing, is that a dance teacher actually works as hard as a student.
Yeah.
And most personal trainers don't. And, of course, they would say, well, how can I train 7 times a day with my students? If I'm teaching like 6 to 10 people a day, how do I have 6 to 10 workouts?
Yeah.
If I was going to do that, I would pace it out so that every time I worked out with somebody, I would maybe do one body part or 1 or 2 sets. But in that time that I have with that person, I would definitely show them how to do it with intensity by actually doing it.
Yeah.
They have to physically see it being done.
And I guess what happens is you're not training. Like, say, let's say you were on a training program. You weren't training every day. Let's say you decided that you were going to train 3 times a week just for yourself. And then you've got all these clients, let's say 5 clients a day. You can do just, like you said, one body part. You can just do it lightly. You don't have to go heavy with them.
No, but there's something about doing it heavy. Like when you actually do the work and you're under the weight and you have to perform, the visual perception from the client is that it's possible to do what you're telling them to do, because everyone's telling you to work harder, to do the work, but no one's seeing the work being done. This is my point.
Yes.
They have to see that it's possible to do.
Yeah.
And when the coach never does it, when the teacher never does it, I think that's one of the missing links. But like with a dojo and the martial arts studio environment, you see the master do the work. He does his kicks and his ceremonial type of traditional work, and he does it at such a high level. It would be like me watching a hammer thrower, like a teacher, like if I was with a great hammer thrower, he would go out into the circle and throw the hammer. He would do it. I would see it, how it gets done.
But how many mentorships could you do a day full out?
Well, I would arrange it so that if I had 6 or 10 clients a day, I would spread myself out so that over the course of the day, I'd get a full, complete workout in. Maybe I'd do core training with one, or I'd break the core training into segments so that with one of the clients, I would do one exercise really hard the right way and show them what the intensity was so that through the course of the entire day, I'd get my whole workout in. That's how I would do it.
And what you're doing is you're making your work for you.
Absolutely, so that I wasn't burnt out.
Yeah, because what happens is how many personal trainers, not everyone, but a lot of personal trainers I see are not working out themselves anymore.
Well, they say they're too busy, they don't have enough time. So why aren't they working out in their actual training?
We've heard that song and dance literally more times than
they should actually be in incredible shape. They're training like 6 days a week. They should actually have the fit body of an athlete who trains 2 to 3 hours a day, 6 days a week, which would theoretically be phenomenal.
And some of their clients come in 2 or 3 times a week. I'm sure they could. Yeah, I'm sure there's something that could be done that they can make that job work for them because
you could show them how to make the shake. You could teach them about hydration. Your whole workout in your brain as the teacher is that you're going to train over. I used to do that at the gym. Do you remember at the Spartacus? My workouts would take 6 hours.
Well, the thing I'm seeing is these personal trainers are losing their health, helping other people get healthy.
Doesn't make any sense.
It does not make any sense at all, and that's not the reason that they want to become a personal trainer. I would want them to is because they want to live a healthy lifestyle. It's totally the opposite of what they're really supposed to be doing, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a shame, because it really can be a beautiful industry.
It is a shame. It is a shame. Yeah. But, you know, being in Hawaii with Nicole, she is just a doll. She has a beautiful spirit, a very, very nice person. She is going to pursue her CSNA master's. She's just finishing
awesome.
Up her CSNA. Then she's going to teach the new PSN program.
Fantastic.
And she wants to make a career out of this field and actually teach for the reward of teaching and also generate some revenue and build up her business.
And she also competed in the fem sport as well.
Oh, yeah. She's a mover and a shaker.
Yeah,
and
really. So
we were squatting and deadlifting together, and it was great to work with somebody as passionate and into it as she is. She's into what she's doing, which I really enjoy.
Well, of course you would.
Yeah. So we really had a good time. And of course, how can you not have a good time when you're training in Hawaii?
Oh, I don't know. How could you not?
We would walk to the gym, and along the Alawai Canal, it would take us about 35 minutes. And during that time from where we started, I'd walk from my hotel, meet her, and then we walked together along the Alawai, and we're just soaking up the sun. And we're having this great discussion about training and life and values and principles and philosophy. And that was kind of how we set every workup
right.
up. And then we would go into each workout, you know, the five-day, Five Steps to Health program, and just go through it together. It would take us like 3 hours. And that was time well spent. Very, very profitable for everybody involved.
Absolutely. It's not just a bitch session. Like, I think some clients go in and they bitch and complain about their day, and then they kind of get into it. This way you can kind of ease into it. You're walking. You're both moving. You know, and you get to know each other. You become a friend. I think that's really important. You know, like you said, you sweat together. Okay.
You sweats together shall stick together.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, very good. Okay, dear, so yeah, that was good, and I guess we're going to wrap it up now. He said, she said, for this session. What is your final word?
My final word is by Vicky Baum. There are shortcuts to happiness, and dancing is one of them.